Happy New Year to you. It's great. If you're a guest with us this morning, my name's Andrew and I'm the lead pastor of the church, and hopefully you can get to say hello over coffee or a tea. And let me just say a big thank you to God for his faithfulness in bringing us through last year to this year and where we are now. Oh, the faithfulness of God as we've sung. And a thank you to everybody who's been part of the journey at different times, just rocking up, doing something, or being on the phone to someone. And it's amazing what we've been able to do over recent weeks as a church, particularly in celebrating Christmas. So to everybody who got creative with carols in the car park or and nativity walkabout in the car park on Christmas Eve, and those who invited people, those who made drinks and hot dogs and just went a lot of extra miles just to create those kind of things. Those who were involved with groups, our regular groups, and have brought Jesus into those and helped us to bring something of the celebration of the first birth of Jesus into each of our groups. Thank you. For all your prayers and all those other bits and pieces. I want to ask you just how are you doing as we enter into 2022? How are you doing? I'm not really sure. I'm really excited on the one hand, but talking with those around the church, the reality is people use words like, oh, I'm so much more distracted, or I find it hard to focus or settle on things. Others have said, oh, I just get tired so easily. Or I'm just not sure. Not sure what's coming up and whether things are ever going to change. Plain weary. People say, oh, I've just got out of the habit. And that involves all sorts of different aspects of life, but also it's the helpful habits that bring us close to God, or that help us be alongside one another in one way or another, encouraging one another along. You know, last year we had as our verse for the year, a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I think, crumbs, we've been leaning hard into God through all the chops and changes of the past year. And we've tried to keep listening and looking to him. For this coming year, God has laid on our hearts the theme of finding our strength in Christ, in Jesus. And in particular, verses from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. We're going to try and carry these with us throughout the year. Alison Graham is going to read them to us now. She's done it via video. Alison helps the deaf community access our service through the BSL interpretation. And it's easier to sign and talk if it's recorded and put together. So here's our verses for this year.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7.
Thank you. Yeah, you can give her a clap. And it's interesting, isn't it, where she has to look at the order that the words come in order to get that across, and made us really think through that. Paul's words to the Colossian Christians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they speak to us today. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. It's a command centered on the person of Jesus. Takes us to him. You know, once, he's saying, in the past, you've taken hold of a new way of life where Jesus is Lord over you. You've received him. It's something that's happened. It's a done deal, completed event in the past. And sure, for all of us, that kind of thing is a process, isn't it? That's very individual. It involves some seeking after truth. It involves finding peace in Jesus. They would have been helped by Epaphras, who told them the good news about him. And there would have been sorrow over all that was wrong in their life, a turning to Christ, a joy in finding forgiveness in the Messiah, Jesus, and what he'd done on the cross. They have received Jesus as Lord over their lives. I couldn't help thinking in my preparation back to a couple of people who came to preach last year when we had Manoj came. And he grew up as a Hindu. And yet he would say in his story he told us, God found him and made him a new person in Christ. I remember William, I don't know if you do, from Life Church Cuffley, Northern Irish, and he talked about a young girl at a party in Belfast, inviting him and others out of a really rough background, let's say, to give their lives to Christ and preach to them. Jesus becomes Lord in their lives, the boss, the supreme authority. And that's what's happened for these Christians in Colossae. The unique, the one and only Son of God, the anointed one is the translation of the Greek Christ or the Hebrew Messiah. Each Christian receives him as Lord. He calls the shots. And it's the same Jesus as we've had in chapter 1 of Colossians. Paul talks about him in the greatest terms, the image of the invisible God. Wow. Before all things, firstborn over all creation, in whom all things hold together. We reflected on that the other week. Jesus is supreme and he's without comparison. One teacher and writer, Derek Tipple, says this. This was a cause of great celebration for early Christians. No power they face, whether the power of economic forces, natural disasters, demonic beings, or that great enemy death, was supreme. Jesus was. He was Lord over it all. And Paul's saying, yeah, once you had received this, you'd known it, you'd understood it, you were living with Jesus as a unique authority in your lives, just as you received him. Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Now, literally, this idea of continuing to live is, if you were to translate it literally, it's to walk. It's to walk in him. That's the image that we have here. And there are lots of challenges to that can draw us off. If you read the next verses after the ones that Alison signed and read to us, you'll see just how then, at that time in Colossae, they had all sorts of things that would draw them to one side, what Paul calls the hollow philosophies and the mere human traditions, he says. And when the going got tough under the Roman Empire, and you look for source, for help or strength or anything, you know, they were in danger of losing their way and just down the hollow philosophy route or whatever. And he's saying, no, keep going. Just as you received him, keep going. Continue to live your lives in him. It's a call to a continuous, consistent, seeking God, finding him, trusting in Christ kind of way of living. It's what I think business and leadership writer Jim Collins would call take another 20-mile march, another 20-mile march. Let me try and explain that to you. It started after the turbulent events of 9/11 in the following year, 2002. Jim Collins, with a whole bunch of other research teams, over the course of the next decade, which included a financial crash as well, they were really interested to find out what are the factors, the top factors for the companies that seem to thrive in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, whilst other companies with equally amazing creative people on staff, the same visionary outlook, the same ambitions, didn't seem to thrive in the same uncertain environment. What are the factors that make some thrive and flourish? Well, the ones who flourished, what came out at the top of the pile was the ones who flourished were the ones who just kept going. They took continuous, consistent steps at measured pace when things were bad and when things were good. It's what he called a 20-mile march. Now, the reason he called it a 20-mile march is this, because as they were doing their research, they saw an amazing parallel between those companies and the two teams who raced under Scott or Amundsen to the South Pole over 110 years ago. Now, both team leaders, both were a similar age, both had had much the same expedition experience. They were taking on this challenge in the same hostile environment, and they were doing it in the same year with the same proportion of good and atrocious weather days. And it was an age where getting everything right was essential. You know, there's no mobile phone, no GPS, no satellite link. If things went wrong, there was little or no chance of rescue. And one team, as history tells us, led by Amundsen, got there first and all returned safely. The other team arrived much later and none of the five made it back alive. And what was the difference in the behaviours between the two teams? Well, Scott's team, they knew how to make the most of the good days. They would push on, make good mileage. Many miles they'd cover, at times driving themselves to exhaustion, they would admit. But when it was really rough, they'd sit it out in their tent. And they were prone to complaining about how bad it was. Amundsen, on the other hand, embraced what Jim Collins calls the paradox of control and non-control. Now, if you think about it, that team had no control over the unpredictable and vicious weather. No control at all. Neither did they have any control over the kind of surface that they would move on that coming day, whether it would be level and smooth or rough and so on. And they also had no idea and no control over what the other team were doing and where they'd got to. But Amundsen worked out what they could control was the rate of progress. And so they stayed consistently between 15 and 20 miles each day. Even when they were 45 miles from the South Pole and they were unaware of where the other team were at, they still went only 17 miles the next day. They got up, they kept going, because it was a continuous, consistent walk on the good days and on the bad days. And it got them there first and it got all of them back in one piece. Jim Collins called it a 20-mile march. Each day, and that was how businesses seemed to thrive in difficult and uncertain times. And I saw a big parallel between that and Paul's command here, because he's telling the Christians then, and I think God is speaking to us today, take another step with Christ, to continue to live your life in him. Take a 20-mile march in him. I know I shared how with many of you how my good friend and colleague Gordon in ministry for 9 years together. He died in autumn 2020. It's hard to date things, isn't it, over the last couple of years. But his wife Janice talked about her process of grief very openly, and she talked about feeling lost in her grief. Her world had fallen in and caved in. Her way of life as she had known it had gone completely. There was so much that she didn't understand, could hardly accept about what was happening and what had happened to Gordon. And she had to face those questions. What should she do? How could she go on? Where would she find the strength? And it was as she was reading these verses that she heard of the voice of God speaking to her. And her decision, resolve was, she said this, I decided that I would continue to live in Jesus. She opted for a 20-mile march in him each day. And I think this is God's word to us today and through the year. We're not out of the woods yet, are we? I don't know whether you've noticed. We've still got a few perturbations and all those kind of things. People off with COVID or isolating or whatever, close contacts. And everything else in life is still going on or not. You need strength. You need to refocus or to find renewed purpose and meaning. You need to find solace in grief, or you need to find hope. You wonder what's ahead, or you wonder how you can keep going when you're surrounded by a pandemic that keeps flaring up and bringing us down. Let's continue to live in Jesus. You know, it's the same Jesus who sought you out, who called you to himself. It's the same Jesus who gave you a fresh start and invited you into an adventure. Take a 20-mile march in him on the good days and the bad. See, I don't know where you turn for strength, but part of our role as together is to encourage one another to go to him. I couldn't help thinking about the disciples, and they were there when others had been listening and they heard what Jesus had to say about following him, and it was too much and they left. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, what about you? Do you want to leave as well? And they said, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you're the one. And Jesus is the strength you need for this coming year, and me, for the wisdom, the hope, and the love. In verse 7, there are three different images Paul gives that help us as we think about this continuing life in Jesus and how we can do that and what it looks like in different ways. And they're worth meditating on. I'm just going to mention them briefly now. And in a series we've got coming up beginning next week, we'll look at how we draw strength and we'll reflect these. Rooted in Jesus. That's something God did for them in Colossae. It's something he does for us as we receive Jesus, Christ Jesus, Lord. We're planted and our roots go down into the soil of God's love and the truth of God's word for nourishment. Why? Why would I seek strength and nourishment elsewhere? Why would I uproot myself? Why get out of habits that help you and root yourself somewhere else? Built up in Jesus. That's the second image. We have this foundation of his salvation and rescue in our lives. He is the foundation. He's a solid ground, unshakable. And we're built up as we base our lives on his teaching and his way of life. Why build any other way? And strengthened in the faith as you were taught. We're to do those things that help us take a firmer grip on Jesus, strengthened in the faith so that we are rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that we've been taught, and finally, overflowing with thankfulness. In your life groups, you can think some more about this during the week. Paul actually talks about giving thanks to God on 6 separate occasions in this letter alone. Thankfulness is a healthy spiritual practice for a healthy spiritual walk in Christ. And it's also an indicator, I guess, of our walk in Jesus. How is my thankfulness rating at the moment? How is yours? Is it the same things you're thanking God for, or are there new things? When you find yourself, does critical things come out and that's the first thought, or thankfulness? Honestly, we've said so many things that have been tough and different this last year that have given us extra work, or, you know, things where we've got things wrong in our individual lives or as a church. There'll be times where we've let people down, you know, unintentionally, just as we've gone through life. But as a body of people, one of the overriding things I love and I get from talking with brothers and sisters on this journey is thankfulness to God for what he has helped us with, what he has helped us through, and how he's helped us at particular points when we've cried out to him and needed it. How is your thankfulness rating at the moment? As I say, next week we'll start a new morning series where we look at this some more, how we can grow strong in Christ, how we can thrive, not only survive, but thrive in the storms of life as individuals and as church, how we can continue to live our lives in Jesus. And my prayer for you and for me today is simply this, for the grace to determine that we're going to turn back fresh to God, to Jesus as Lord over our lives, and for the grace and strength from God to take a step and another step in Him and with Him through this year, to be up for a 20-mile march each day. That's my prayer. In a few moments,